If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn to Acts chapter number 8. You know, there's always more to a story. You can look at the videos, you can look at the pictures. You know, Teresa there, we showed you her. You know, it's interesting. At the same time, over this last term, we got to know her, and we got to know another lady about her age, a little bit older than her, during the same period of time. And during that time, we were witnessing to both. We were trying to win both of them to the Lord. And Teresa ended up getting saved. You know, her husband had gotten saved before that. He found a part of one of our tracks in the gutter, literally in the gutter. And it had water damage on it. And he saw it and he said, "Hey, this has the Word of God on it," because it had a verse reference on it. He says, "I need to take that home." And he took that home. He started a Bible study through the course of, you know, he quit the Bible studies. Then he started them back up. It took about a year and a half for him to come to know the Lord as Savior. But then he said, "Pray for my family. Pray for my family." And Lord allowed us to win her. And then after that, the Lord allowed us to win her son, Patricio. Barbara, her daughter-in-law, and they have a little boy named Martin. He's not old enough to come to know the Lord. But then after her death, she ended up dying. After her death, her son Jorge and her future daughter-in-law Camila, they got saved in January. There's always more to a story. She died in November. I prayed with her. I spent time with her. She was at peace, and she was ready to be with the Lord. Contrast that with the other woman that we dealt with the same amount of time, probably spent more time on her, witnessing to her, everything. She died in bitterness, not wanting the Lord, not wanting to know the Lord. There's always more to a story. There's always more. There's always more. And tonight, I want to look at someone here in the scripture, Acts chapter 8, if we start reading here in verse number 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, to be baptized, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached into the cities until he came to Caesarea." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. Father, please just bless your scripture tonight. Use your word in our hearts, Father, please. Help me to say what you want to be said here tonight, Father, please, and help us to just look at this man here, and help us to just see that there's more to him, Father. There's more to his story. Father, also that we have the same story, Father, please just help. We love you. We thank you for everything. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You know, here in the scriptures, a very famous passage. I guarantee I'm not going to say anything new tonight. You know, that's not going to happen. But here we see, Philip here, he's preaching in Samaria. There's great revival. And there's another man named Simon. They had a little bit of problems there. But, that all ends here. And the Lord tells Philip to go here and specifically to meet. He go to the south, down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And it said he arose and went. He was obedient to his call, to what God wanted him to do. And so he went down. And behold, and it says here, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read the Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself into this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That's a big thing. When somebody's reading the scripture, they need to understand it. Amen. They need to understand what it actually means. There's so much confusion out there, so much false doctrine out there. We deal with so much of that in Chile. Chile, generally, about 76, 77% Catholic. But in our region, it's only about 70%, and that's filled in with all of the other things that there are that are down there. There's mixes of churches. There's the Methodist Pentecostal Church of Chile. There's just mixes of every single thing you could ever imagine down there where we minister. And there's so much different, there's so much confusion and so many different doctrines that you have to almost unteach people things before you can teach them the truth. But it all breaks down to, do they understand? Do they understand what the scripture says? And that's a very important thing. That's a very important thing. And what he says here, good thing this guy wasn't 17 years old or 18 years old when he got to ask the question. You understand it? Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Sure. That's kind of what the answer would be, right? Well, this man had a humble spirit. He said in verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He didn't know Philip. He didn't know who this was. But he said, how can I, unless some man guide me? If you're a born-again believer, this is our job to guide others. Amen. We should be able to guide them in the scripture, to show them. Using scripture, right? Not just my church teaches or my preacher said, no, that the Bible says right here, let's read it. Amen. That's what we need to be able to do. Amen. And it's very important. It's important for us to do this job. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 8, verse 5, it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the word, blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all these people whose their name is very difficult to pronounce, you can read it in your own time there. It says, all these folks here caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their places. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I want you to see here that is exactly what Philip was doing. He was reading. He began there at the same scripture, and he helped him understand the sense of this and understand who the scripture was talking about here. It's very interesting. It's very interesting to see this play out in the New Testament. that this man so willing to say, how can I except some man should guide me? And Philip's like, hey, I want to do that. And he said, and he desired him to come up. So we see that happening here. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the specific place, again, this is our job. He says, how can I? You know, Romans, of course, we would go to Romans chapter 10. And like I said, I'm not preaching anything new to you all, but pastor gave me the time to preach, so just listen, okay? So chapter 10, verse number 15, or verse 13. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him of whom they have not heard, believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings unto good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're there, you know, we're there to help people understand the sense of the scripture, help them understand what they're reading, so that they may come to know Christ as their Savior. Amen. And so we see that here. It gave the sense of it in Nehemiah. Here, helped him understand it. You know, the exact place where he was reading here, if we go back to the book of Isaiah, it's good when you read something in the New Testament, brethren. I know you all probably do this every single time, but when you read it in the New Testament, why don't you go ahead and look it up in the Old Testament? Where it's at, what's being said there. You know, here he's reading Isaiah 53. It's a famous chapter, right? You know, it shows here, in 53, he's reading verses 7 and 8. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This is exactly where he was reading. But it says here he was reading in a part of Isaiah. How much of the scripture did he have there? How much of the portion of the scriptures did he have? You know, if we look back here, who this man was, you know, the Bible says, if we go back, you might want to keep a marker there in Isaiah because we're going to go back there. But in Isaiah chapter or in Achos. You don't want to read in the book of Achos, do you? We could. Acts. Amen. Acts 8. We see here that it says that this man, behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. We understand, you know, here, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. You know, he would have been a very prosperous man, would have had a whole bunch of, you know, influence in where he was from. But also, you know, he had charge of all her treasure. But it says there also, another part of the scripture, it says right there that he was a eunuch. You know, and I think you all are educated enough to understand what a eunuch is. But if we look at this, you know, this man had all this authority, had all the charge of her treasure. He had, you know, he had all these things. But still, at the end of the day, he could not get married and have children, could he? Could never happen. You know, interesting thing here. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, actually, he would have been prohibited from entering into the congregation of Israel because of who he was. And he would have looked like what he was. He would have looked like that. You would have been able to look at him and know that that's who he was and what he was. And the scripture says here, you know, what he was. Well, why am I bringing that up? Well, I'm bringing it up because the scripture says it, but there's something else interesting that the scripture says specifically about eunuchs in Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah 56. Verse number one. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth the hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. And here, what does it say there? It's interesting. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord to the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters, than of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Just look a little bit deeper into this Ethiopian eunuch. He had influence, had great authority, he had all these things, had probably great riches also, but he could never have children. He could never pass his name on for future generations. Could never happen for him. But here in God's word, just a couple chapters away from where he was reading, it talks about eunuchs. And it talks about him, it talks about eunuchs, about how the Lord, you know, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, to choose the things that please me and to keep, take hold of my government, my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. That's what this man could have. You know, and I don't know, in my imagination, I like to be like, well, he had that part of the scripture, and he read that, and he said, eunuch, and he said, I can have her everlasting name. So he goes back, and how can I have this? Maybe, I don't know. All I know is that this is what the man is going to have if he gets saved, which he could not have before. A dry tree. He knew, and this man knew, that he could never, never have children or never pass on his name. But the word of God says that he can have a name or have something better than sons and daughters and an everlasting name in heaven. And so we see what happens here. What happens is Philip, he says, how can I accept some man should guide me? That's just a little bit of background on him and who he was and what he would be dealing with in his life, because everybody always has more to their story. That's what I'm trying to get at. Every single person that, you know, the Lord has allowed us to lead to him, or the Lord has allowed us to minister to, they always have more to their story. But the solution's always the same. Does it make any difference? You know, interesting, you go ahead and read that in your own time, not right now, but in your own time, read between chapter 53 and 56. Talks about people that are barren. Talks about how God will make them rejoice. It talks about many other things, but specifically it talks about this eunuch here, and that's why we're here. But the thing is, there's always more. There's always more. And, you know, in our background or what we're dealing with or what we've gone through, what has happened to us, you know, this man probably became a eunuch. Somebody did something to him that he didn't want to happen. And that's why he's in the condition he's in. But God has a solution for him. That's what I'm trying to get at here, brethren. There's such a beautiful solution. And he reads here about how it says here, you know, in verse 32, and the place of scripture where he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth, and in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and began and preached unto him Jesus. That's the solution. It's the only one. You know, so we're all, you know, we all have the same solution. We have different backgrounds. We have different histories. We have different, you know, different hopes and aspirations, right? But the one solution for our salvation is just Jesus. And I say just Jesus, there's only Jesus. Amen. There is no other solution. There is no other way for salvation, the way that I could be saved. And if we look at this man here, this man, you know, the scripture says, you know, apparently eunuchs would say, I'm a dry tree, I can't produce. But it says, let not the eunuch say, I am a dry tree. You know, the same thing, you know, there is a solution for our sin. If we will just humble ourselves and seek Christ, seek help, admit, hey, I don't understand this, then we could get help. Amen. We deal with so many, we deal with so much pride. Here and there where we minister. Not only our own pride, but the pride of others, of people that just don't want to ask for help, or they've gotten themselves into something, they don't want to admit to it. But just we need to humble ourselves and ask for help. Help me. And we see here the end of the story is something great. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip spent sufficient time with him to even go over baptism. Talk about baptism. It's there. Why was he asking about that? So he spent that much time with him, you know, and he spent enough time with him that where he would understand that, hey, he needs to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this man did. What did he say? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down. He was baptized. And if we look here, and he went on his way in verse 39, rejoicing. That always happens after salvation. Rejoicing, rejoicing. Before, he had no hope. No hope for even to have a name after he died. But now he has an everlasting name in heaven. You know, the same is available for everyone. You know, like I said, we all have our histories. We all have our past. You know, we can't change the past, but we can change the future. It, you know, our future's changed when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says that we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I praise the Lord for that, because the person that I was before, I didn't even like that person. Amen. I wouldn't be here. My family probably wouldn't be together. Probably some of the members wouldn't even exist, because we would never have been together for them to be. But God did a work in our life. You know, here in 1 Corinthians, I know that the church at Corinth had problems, that, you know, they were fighting and all this other stuff. That never happens nowadays. So we can look at this here and not feel bad about it, right? But here in chapter 6, Paul's writing to them. He says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 11, he says, and you know, if we just stop there, we'd be like, oh my. But in verse 11 here, he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Does it make any difference our past? Does it make any difference who I am? God is not a respecter of persons. Doesn't make any difference, you know, what I've done or what I'm in. If I will humble myself and repent and believe the gospel, he will save me. That's just the truth. But we need to help others understand that. You know, and such were some of you. You know, we don't have to go and tell folks. You know, we can communicate and help people understand what the scripture says. And we don't have to go and just tell all of our past sins. We can be like, hey, I understand. I know I really understand. But there's help. God can save you from that. God can help you. He can save you. He can change you. He can change what you want. God can do that. You know, again, in another place of the scripture, you know, in the end, in Revelation, Apocalypsis, if you want to know what that's called in Spanish, Book of Revelation, Revelation 21:8, you know, I used to work with, just for free, I always remember this, I used to work with a lady that, she was Southern Baptist, and this is one of the songs that they sang with the kids. It's interesting. Let me tell you about it here. In chapter 21, verse number 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And they would sing that Revelation 21:8, and then they just put it in there. Liars go to hell, liars go to hell. And they would sing that song with the kids. I'm like, that's interesting. She was not of us. But it's interesting, this part here, how many times can we look and we can see, I used to be that. I was that. That was in my life. Praise the Lord, he's changed me. You know, I'm no longer fearful. You know, I told the Spanish work today that I made a profession of faith when I was 10 years old. And from that time until, you know, I was old enough, I was always scared of the dark. Always scared of the dark. I'd go to sleep, you know, even in teenage years, I'd go to sleep. I'd say the same prayer every night. Exact one. I could probably quote it. I'd say that same prayer every night, and then I'd go to sleep with my head under the covers because I was scared. I think I'd go to sleep and I'd actually pass out from lack of oxygen. But I was fearful. I was fearful of what could happen. What if I don't wake up? What's out there? I'm no longer fearful. Oh, you're grown up now. No, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. The worst thing that can happen to me is I go to heaven. That's just the truth. But he's changed us. Look at this. You know, we don't have to be fearful anymore. We don't have to be stuck in all these sins. He's given us victory over sin if we will allow him to give us the victory. You know, here, this call and this change and this what he wants, how he wants to save everyone, it's available to every single person. He doesn't distinguish, you know, like I said earlier, and you all know the scripture, God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't make any difference from what country I'm from. It doesn't make any difference what color my skin is. It doesn't make any difference what language I speak. God can save anyone. It doesn't make any difference what I've done in the past. God can save anyone. Here in the end of the book, in Revelation 22:17. If you can find Revelation 27, you get with me after the scripture, after the service. I want to see it. But chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that hears say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You know, here it's interesting. It says, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Who is him that heareth? That's us as believers. We should be saying, Come. Come know the Lord Jesus Christ. He can change your life. He can change your eternity. Not just this life here on earth, but your eternal destination. It says here that whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, we see here that this is available to all, even to this man here that would not have been allowed into the congregation of Israel. Salvation was available unto him. And I praise the Lord for that we can read about him and read about, you know, what the Lord says that he can do for these folks that cannot, that this eunuch that could never have an offspring, give him a place better than sons and daughters in heaven and an everlasting name. Every single person here that is saved, we have the exact same thing. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have eternal salvation. We should try to help others come to know the same peace and the same salvation that we have. Amen. Help them understand what the Scripture says, what the Word of God says, so that they might also know Christ as Savior. Amen. And have an everlasting name. Amen. We had 3 funerals in 6 months in our church in Chile. 3 brethren, people that knew the Lord. 2 that we personally got to lead to the Lord. Another man had a testimony of salvation. He knew the Lord already. And through those funerals, we had through the first funeral, we had 150, 200 folks there, hearing the gospel preached. Through Teresa's funeral, there were so many. I didn't know she knew so many people. I had no idea she knew so many people. And we don't even have a number of how many people came through the church and heard the gospel preached. You know, hey, in a Chilean funeral, you get to hear the gospel preached 3 or 4 times. But it all has to happen within about 24, 48 hours. You know, even through Juan's funeral, we got to preach the gospel and show folks, you know, hey, if you ever want to see him again, you need to get saved. You need to repent. All those people have their different stories. All those people have their different histories, right? Have their different problems. But there's only one solution, and it's Jesus Christ. And we know him, and we know the way to help them understand what the Scripture says. And I know you're all doing it. You're all having a part of it down in the country of Chile. But is there room for us to do even more? If Philip would have took that attitude, he would have been like, Lord, we had a great revival. We had so many folks saved. Hey, we had that one problem with Simon, but Lord, you know, I'm tired. I'm doing all I can do, Lord. The Lord says, hey, you need to go down here, you know, south from Jerusalem to Gaza. He didn't say that. It's not recorded. He went. And he was able to help a man whose name would have been cut off when he died, have an everlasting name in heaven, help him understand the Scripture so he could have that. We can do the exact same thing, brethren. It's our job. Could we do more? Absolutely, we can do more. That should be our attitude. There's more that we can do. There's more people we can witness to. You know, and that's what we need to be doing. And I know you're all doing it, but what I want to encourage you is in this. We can do more. We can. There's other people just like him that when they die, hey, their name might not be cut off. They may have many children like Teresa did. She has 2 more sons. We want them to get saved. She has other grandchildren. People, we need to help them come to understand the Scripture so that they might be saved. That's our job. I just wanted to encourage you in that tonight. Just a great story, how Philip left a revival to go and witness to one man and help him understand the scripture to where that he could know Jesus Christ as Savior. We can do the exact same thing, brethren. Amen.